I want to thank everyone for coming. I'm Sarah Phillips, the Community Relations Director over at the Chamber of Commerce. We decided to have these forums because, as many of you know, a lot of our businesses have been victims of some crimes lately. So we just wanted to get together a nice panel to start discussing these issues and what steps you guys can take to protect yourselves and your businesses. I do have Sergeant Dan Blizzard with Alaska State Troopers with us today, Lieutenant Francis De La Fuente, and Chief Putney from the Kodiak Police Department. I also have Daniel Eubanks. I hope I said your last name right. Okay. And Daniel is a personal protection, workplace violence, and active shooter consultant. And Jay Baldwin is here with Crime Stoppers and is our security systems expert. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and switch it over to Chief Putney here.
Okay, Tim Putney, Kodiak Police Chief. So, in the last couple of weeks, definitely we've noticed an uptick in commercial burglaries, especially the business districts in town, Mill Bay Road and downtown. We've tried to, have extra officers working on overtime at night, try to have more of a saturation. Even with extra officers on, there's still been some break-ins. We've been pursuing a couple of different angles. With that, we had a couple of suspects in mind. We've tried to chase those leads down. We've been getting a lot of video footage from a lot of businesses. So there are, it's good and bad, but, it's what we are able to see are, somebody with gloves, a hood, and a mask, and know what time it occurred. And this, it really seems to be, a pair of people, maybe, who have probably been arrested for this in the past because they, unfortunately, they seem to have a little more knowledge than, the typical person as far as how they're going about their activity. I'm trying to give you folks as much information as I can, but still, because it's being recorded and probably published in some manner, we don't want to tip our hat too much. But I can tell you, we're trying to have extra officers on. We're definitely treating every scene as carefully as we can to try to get as much evidence from it as we can, and combing through surveillance footage, and not just from the business, but a lot of people have cameras these days, so the neighboring businesses down the street, trying to track that back as much as we can. What else can I say?
Can you give us just some tips about what the businesses can do to have a little more security themselves, what steps they can take?
Sure. So I would, definitely... myself or even Mr. Baldwin here, when he talks, part of his, he is here with Crime Stoppers, but he also does some security surveillance camera installation. So I'd be happy to talk to people kind of off the record, so to speak, about security systems. Definitely having an audible alarm has seemed to help. There's been a couple of places with a really annoying, loud, audible alarm that goes off in their business, and that's scared away a few people, because of course those are usually linked to calling us automatically, as well as notifying the business owner on a cell phone these days. Cameras are great. Like I said, we could talk about that more kind of off the record about camera placement, because if all your cameras are up in a corner in your business, and they're looking down on people, we're getting tops of heads, people in hoodies and, wearing gloves. And then, if, like I said, we know what time it happened, but not a whole lot else. So we can, there's some different ways to kind of think about the placement there. And security systems in general are good. Of course, we're talking about things. I know, small businesses, and even as a homeowner myself, if I think about, if I'm going to install a security system, if I'm going to install cameras, these are all initial costs up front, and now most things will have a monthly cost for operations responses, having an operator on the other end and cloud storage for video footage. So all these, you know, the costs add up, I understand. You know, we found that a lot of places have had people come in through secondary doors, and not just the ones you might think of, not necessarily a back door, but they'll come in through your boiler room door and break a hole in your sheetrock and come into your business. So a traditional alarm on just your front door and just a window isn't going to do much good. So it's, like I said, they're definitely, it's something we haven't seen much of in Kodiak. Somebody's probably been arrested for this before and gone to jail and learned what not to do or how to do, you know, their crimes better, unfortunately. So with that, I can turn it over to Lieutenant Del Fuente for anything I might have missed. Yeah. Or if, should we take questions now or at the end?
Let's go ahead and wait till the end.
Okay. And yeah, like I said, feel free to catch me at the office afterwards if you have anything else, if you know, my thoughts on camera systems and security systems, you can catch me afterwards.
Lieutenant Francis De La Fuente, nothing much to add from what Chief said, but we have the group of guys doing this that are also thinking outside the box. Like Chief said, we just have to, they're doing the backdoor stuff. And to be honest with you, this fog, rain, when it's dark, somebody can be 15, 20 feet away from you and you won't see him in black clothing. We do appreciate all the businesses have cameras. Audible is what we've been seeing that works. And just being aware of everything. See something, say something. To us, there's no such thing as we don't want to waste the time of the police officers. We have units outside. Unfortunately, we are a small community. We have a limited number of officers. We can only go around and catch bear this side and go alarm on that side. And we've had some few guys with the possibility with weapons, so we take that seriously. But audible would be the key. Like Chief said, as we're talking right now, KPD is actively together with the other agencies are working on leads. We take every lead seriously. Unfortunately, the videos we have, we ran out of businesses tracking where they went. That helps, so don't think that the camera footage, just because we can't see the face, positioning of camera would be maybe discussed in a business private matter, because, you know, as we all know, everybody here goes on Facebook, so does the people that do this kind of thing, so everything we discuss is out there. So if we plan something, they're already thinking of the next step based on what we discussed. Basically, that's all I can add from what Chief said. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go ahead and turn it over to Sergeant Dan Blizzard with the Alaska State Troopers.
So as you said, I'm Sergeant Dan Blizzard with the Troopers. So most of the most recent burglaries and thefts have been within city limits. That doesn't mean that the businesses outside of city limits aren't targets or may be coming up as targets. So they have to remain vigilant as well. We have had a couple recently within the last week that they tried to break in. And again, like they said, audible alarms have scared them off. So that would be my biggest recommendation. If you don't have audible alarms, that's what has been scaring people off. They break in the door, the alarm goes off, and they bolt. They run out of there. They don't steal anything. You may have some damage to a door, but that's going to be the extent of it. Again, cameras are excellent. You know, even if we don't get a clear face shot, we can see what kind of hoodies they're wearing, what kind of pants they're wearing. And then, you know, let's face it, the guys that are doing this are probably all the same guys. And if we've got footage of someone in a Grundin's jacket and Kodiak sweatpants breaking into multiple businesses, at some point, you know, we're going to get enough leads where we can possibly make an arrest. Then we can tie that person to all of them. So cameras obviously are good. I would recommend like a cloud-based system. Hard drive, if you got a hard drive sitting there with all your cameras tied to it, well, the burglars are going to take your hard drive when they leave. So now you've got no footage of anything. So cloud-based systems are pretty good these days. You know, like Chief Putney said, there's probably going to be some initial cost to have that service to use space on the cloud. But, you know, in my own home, that's what I have. So audible alarms, cameras. I guess another bit of advice I would say is, like, if possible, don't keep large amounts of cash at the business. If you can take it to the bank daily or take it home with you in a cash bag or, you know, something, just don't leave a lot of, especially cash behind, because that's going to be what they're looking for, tools, you know, little things they can grab. If we get rid of all that stuff and there's nothing for them to steal, you know, they may not come back if they do break in. Another thing I would mention is, like, don't try to take things in your own hands, you know, stake out your own business at night and watch. And because, like Chief Putney said, you know, we've been running into people, they are armed. Consider that they're probably going to be armed, whether it's a fake gun, a real gun. You know, a lot of, we've been contacting people with real looking BB guns. So I would recommend, you know, not trying to take matter in your own hands. Just call the police, call the troopers, you know, whatever you need to do. And I think it just goes back to alarm systems and cameras. That's going to be the best bet.
Okay, thank you. With that in mind, let's go ahead and turn it over to Jay Baldwin, who is with Crime Stoppers and our security system expert here.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming. What I did real quickly was, like the chief had mentioned, I just put out a quick brochure that gives just some real simple steps what people could do just to help with just limiting the amount of access into your residence or building. Some very simple ideas that's just a good refresher to help kind of get the ideas. Biggest thing also to be with shrubs and lighting. Those are some of the basic steps that could help eliminate from drawing unwanted attention. And then also one for Crime Stoppers. We have a good membership. We're always looking for more volunteers, but we try to work closely with the police department on trying to help as a community, try to get leads or people that do call in, give them some type of a ability to give leads to help with solving them. And one of the good aspects is that if someone gives a lead, that there's an anonymous, they can get a reward. So it gives them some benefit to for those that have information. I said we do a lot of security cameras and stuff, and there's a lot of technology that has improved over the time. So afterwards, if anybody has any questions regarding to video security or audible alarms and stuff like that, I said we keep our finger on the pulse of what's out there in the technology world. There's stuff that communicates with your phones or apps and things like that and give you notification to help. But that's pretty much what I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Lastly, we have Daniel Eubanks, who is our personal protection, workplace violence, and active shooter consultant. So I'll turn it over to him.
Hi. As Sarah mentioned, my name is Daniel Eubanks. I come at this from a little different perspective. I'm not law enforcement. I don't do security systems. I work at it from a little more personable perspective. I have a question for you guys. When it comes to security, whether it's your personal security, business security, home security, what do you think the greatest threat to that security is? Anybody?
Unlocked doors.
Huh?
Not locking your doors.
Okay. Anybody else? Mm-hmm. Okay, so those two answers kind of reflect part of the answer I was looking for, is that the greatest threat to your security, your business security, your home security is complacency. As soon as you think it's not going to happen to me, it always happens somewhere else. As soon as you adopt that position, then you are saying, I think it's going to happen somewhere else, so I'm willing to take the risk. And when you reframe it, like, I'm willing to take the risk, it changes the way you see this position. Are you willing to take the risk with your family, your employees, your business? Where do you draw the line on taking the risk? And when you start being complacent about your personal security, you have pretty much given the responsibility for your security to something else. A lot of times when you ask people what the greatest threat to their security is, you hear drugs, guns, criminals. So everybody's pointing a finger somewhere else as to what is responsible or what the threat to their security is. When people think about security, they're always like, well, what can I do if this happens? What is that one thing that's going to work? And when you get down to where it's a magic pill that's going to fix everything, you need to step back and rethink everything. When you think about security, it's a multifaceted approach. There is no one size fits all. There is no magic thing that you can do. It's like a three-legged stool. Right on this panel, you pretty much have all three legs. You have law enforcement, which is an absolute essential component. You have security systems or tangible products to help your security. And Jay, me, I'm going to tell you that taking personal responsibility for your own security is one of the best things you can do. It's no better than all the rest of these, but it's an essential component. And by taking responsibility for your security, I am not advocating, as Mr. Blizzard said, taking matters into your own hands. That is not what I'm talking about. When you adopt a stance that you're going to be responsible for your own security, you tend to be a little bit more forward thinking. With law enforcement, well, I'm okay, I have 911. I'll call 911, that'll work. 911's a wonderful thing. And in Kodiak, we're blessed with having law enforcement that has amazing response times. They sometimes 240 seconds, and they are, what do you need? What's the problem? It's an amazing response time. Some burglaries turn into kind of more of a smash and grab kind of thing. They might be 180 seconds or 90 seconds. By the time you call 911, you're already a victim, or you're about to be. Alarms. When your alarm goes off, you're already a victim. There's already something wrong. And so law enforcement and alarms tend to be reactive instead of proactive. That's just the way they work. You want them to be reactive. When something's wrong, you want them to react, and they do. When you're taking responsibility for your own security, you're being proactive. You're thinking this, if you're sitting in this room, you're probably already thinking about security. You're already thinking that you want more education. You're already thinking about maybe getting more training. You're thinking about getting an alarm. You're thinking about things that are going to be proactive for your own security. When people start being proactive with their own security, they say, well, I've got 911 and I have an alarm. Oh, I set the alarm, I've got my phone, and I checked all the doors and windows to make sure they were locked. And we tend to just kind of stop there. We members of the community that are non-criminal element type people, we tend to think rationally. We tend to assume that others, we see the good in people. Someone that is intent on making you a victim probably isn't thinking rationally, and they don't really care what happens to you or your home or your place of business. One of the things I think that from an outside perspective is that a lot of the businesses that are getting broken into, especially along Mill Bay, they have back entries that are weak points. They've got a door that's locked. Well, that's good enough. I got an alarm, got a lock on the door. The screws that hold your deadbolt into the door jamb are that big. You have two of them. It probably takes a thief 15 seconds to breach your door. Is that about right? Something like that? Yeah. So in the 15 seconds that they come in, they don't care how much damage they do. They don't care what they break. All they're trying to do is get inside. Because we're all law-abiding citizens, we don't walk around behind our building and go, oh yeah, the door's locked, okay, windows are shut, good. We look for the good things. We look for the things that support what we want. We don't stand outside and go, now if my kid was in this building trapped and I had 15 seconds to get in, how would I get in? And that's the way the criminal looks at it. They don't care what damage they do. They just want to get in the building. In 15 seconds, they'll be inside your building. In 2 minutes, they'll have gotten what they came for and left. There's just, it happens too quick. And there may be security footage, there may be alarms, and if the alarm goes off and they run away first, fantastic. But standing outside of your building, doing a walk around in your building, and trying to find the weak points, try to find the places where you could get in 15 seconds or 30 seconds. Walk around your home, your business. Is there a ladder outside your back door? Like Jay was addressing, is there places people can hide? Is there tools or equipment outside of your house or your building? If there's a sledgehammer or a maul for splitting wood outside of your house, just leave your keys in the door. It'll do less damage. We don't think like criminals. But law enforcement will tell you that if you want to catch a thief, you have to think like one. You have to be in the mindset and see the world through their eyes. And it helps you see where your danger zones are. When it comes to businesses, are you paying attention to, have you done any training with your staff, your employees? Have you analyzed how their shifts work? How many people are on the floor? How many blind spots do you have in your business? It's not just break-ins that you lose money in a business. It's also with shoplifting. There was just recently a place in town that had some items stolen while they were open. And it just so happened that two or three employees that were all there at one time wound up in the back room at the same time. And all of a sudden, $1,000 worth of merchandise goes missing. And so that was avoidable. Anytime somebody comes into your business and you get that little feeling, you know, a lot of people, after something happens, say, yeah, I had a feeling about that person. Something didn't feel right about it. But you didn't do anything about it. As Officer De La Fuente said, see something, say something. Think something, feel something, do something. Don't just be passive with those feelings. Those feelings are given to us to help keep us safe. And if we don't pay attention to them, we often wind up on the wrong end of the stick. Pay attention to how your store is laid out. Pay attention to how your employees work. Are they looking at their phones while there's employees in the shop or while there's customers in the store? How often do you test your in-store security? How often do you have a secret shopper come in or something that just asks the wrong questions? I had someone in my shop, I own Daniel's Jewelry, and they came in, they were just asking questions that didn't, just odd questions. Just kind of, And so I grabbed my phone and started snapping pictures through my security system of this person walking around in my store. It gave different angles, good shots of their face. They don't have a hat and a hoodie on coming in at night. Now, it may have been perfectly innocent, the questions they were asking, but it raised my suspicions. So I was just proactive, took a couple of pictures. My wife, she kind of knows the drill. If something comes in, doesn't feel right, she can just sit there and click a couple of pictures on her phone through our security system. So being another, that's another way of being proactive. People that assume your, all of your customers are good, all of the people that come in are good, that's just not the way the world works every time. One of the things that I, as Sarah said, one of the things I do, I advise businesses and individuals about workplace violence and that type of thing. You know, one of the things that people should do is try to go through, the more security you have, the more training you have, the more training you have to protect your employees, might even lower your workman's comp, give you a lower rating on workman's comp, so you're paying less. When it comes to exterior doors, like we were talking about, a steel frame door and a steel door, metal door, probably run you $1,200, $1,500 to get it here and install it. Just having a steel door on your building may save you an insurance cost. Having something that is hardened and more durable when it comes to somebody kicking in your door. So I think that's pretty much it for me, but you know, just being proactive, trying to think ahead, trying to imagine a scenario that you're not prepared for. Because most of the time, that plan you have in your head, that's not how it's going to work. No matter what that plan is, that's not how it's going to work. And especially in business where we have customers, we have employees, being personally responsible and being proactive might mitigate in some way you being legally responsible should you have an event. So anyway, that's it for me.
Okay, thank you so much, everyone. Before I let you go, I'd like to open it up to the audience for questions. If anyone has anything, you can come up to this podium here and just push the speak button on the microphone.
Kurt Law with Axala Electronics. I'm curious, this is more for the law enforcement folks. With the folks that you're catching, how much of this is basically substance abuse related, percentage-wise, versus just plain being an ass?
Yeah. You know, I think it's, you know, without knowing who these people are right now, you know, I think it's Murphy's Law. If it continues, we're going to catch him. It's just a matter of time. As Sergeant Blizzard said, every time they go into somewhere, no matter how careful they try to be, you're always going to leave something behind, and it's just a matter of putting those pieces together. Once it's all said and done, it's probably going to be a little bit like getting, what's the saying, blood out of a turnip or something. You know, they're not going to have anything left to make the victims whole again. But I think it's hand in hand. Substance abuse and theft and burglary go hand in hand. Drugs are very expensive. These are people that usually are unemployed at some point in this addiction process, and they need money. And that's what we're seeing get stolen right now is almost all cash, which is not traceable. It used to be we'd see a lot of electronics and flashy objects and things with serial numbers and firearms get stolen, and those are really easy to trace back, and those are really easy to catch people, and that's why those things are being left behind. And it's just a smash and grab. One of these places in town, when they got broken into, the guy was in and out in 25 seconds. And as if I answered your question, I'm kind of rambling now, but as Mr. Eubanks said, pay attention to those feelings when you get somebody come into your business and they're asking weird questions, because we've had that reported after the fact now. So, you know, pay attention to that. Make a mental note. You can even call us if you see a license plate number or something, because they're going to come in there to get the lay of the land during the day, during the business hours. They seem to know exactly where to go to get money, and the safes that you have bought might not be as hard to get into as you think. A lot of them are cracked open with a crowbar pretty quickly. So I think Dan had a lot of good things to say, and to answer your question, Kurt, I think a lot of it is driven by substance abuse.
Okay, anyone else?
Press the button. Well, I guess we were broken into, and there was a few businesses broken into before us, and I'm wondering if there's some way we could create a safe space for business owners to report these things to each other. Like, if you have a photo of somebody you think suspicious that came into your business like we did, it's not going to prevent anything unless you can share it and other people can see, you know, hey, this guy came into my business. The guy we think broke into our business came in looking for a job. And then he came in the day of the break-in. And, like, I had the feeling, like Daniel said, that when I first saw him, this guy is not, he's not looking for a job. And I could have taken a photo. And if I had, like, what's that going to do? So I'm just wondering if we could possibly create a safe space for business owners to share their feelings, let other business owners maybe know that they had been broken into. There are a few businesses broken in before us and that right down the road from us. And I don't know, maybe we would have been more vigilant if we had known that. Also, I was wondering what kind of evidence you're taking when you do take evidence, because like you said, a lot of the stuff is cash that's stolen. So how do you prove that one person was in the business that would, you know, if there's nothing to find when you arrest them, how do you know they were even in the business that they broke into if there's only photos of them with a mask on? And one other question I had is, how do we create a record of stolen objects? Because as you know, you when you first see things, yeah, you realize the cash is gone. But then a few days later, you're like, oh, we had a bag of candy stolen, a huge bag of candy that we were putting in at the business. And we realized it was gone like last week. And so how do we create a list of items that are stolen and make it a record for our insurance companies? And then what kind of locks? I mean, Daniel, you're right. You can unscrew a lock. What kind of locks are safe to put on your business that may take a little bit longer than 50 seconds to break into. And that's it. Thank you.
Okay, so let's try and piece that out a little bit. I might need you to come back up a little bit, Sarah. Okay, so the first one is a safe place for business owners to share this information, this knowledge. Naturally, this is a nice starting point for that, but do we have anything right now?
So right now we don't. There is a, you've probably all heard a neighborhood watch. We don't have one active in Kodiak, but there is a similar program out there for businesses. Business watch, or, you know, there's a program out there we can get a hold of, and we could certainly be happy to help launch something like that if there's enough interest. And that would probably be a good point for people to periodically get together, you know, with your fellow small business owners, and, you know, you can have those conversations with each other. If, you know, if you only have four outside cameras and your neighbor only has three, well, maybe you can kind of get together and decide how they can best be utilized. That would be, in any event, we'd be happy to help get that going and get a hold of that program. Is there anything else other than that I can answer that I kind of lost track?
So let me actually jump in on that, because I have a question that kind of leads into that. So it kind of leads into, what are the first steps our business owners can take after a break-in has happened?
Usually, you know, I understand you go to work, like we go to work every day, you probably have a routine of some sorts. So when you start opening up your business is usually when you start noticing things are out of place, or maybe it was obvious and the front door smashed in. But usually it's not so obvious, is when you realize that, to kind of back out the same way you came in, call us, don't let any other employees go in there. Let us know what it is that caught your attention, and then we'll try to kind of work backwards from there. Some things could be as simple as a footprint in the dust that was on the, you know, on your tile floor or on the linoleum, or some mud that got tracked in. But there might be enough, kind of like a fingerprint. A lot of shoe treads are pretty distinguishable. So those are some of the things we look for.
Sarah, did that answer your question? Thank you. And you're going to have to help me with the next one.
And then the last one was, how do we create a record like that is that we can give to you so that our stolen objects are, you know, it is on record what was stolen? And do we need to have receipts and
camera and video?
Well, how do I take video of something that was stolen?
So you can, a couple of low-tech ways would just be to kind of write it, make a list if you have an inventory, and you can compare it to somebody, and you make a handwritten list of what's gone, you know, what it was, if there's anything that distinguishes that from another thing similar to it, and how much it is. Actually, in our police reports, we have to list things that are stolen because of uniform crime reporting, and we have to put a dollar value next to it. So we can, and of course, you can come in as a victim of that, as long as it's, or your insurance company especially can get a hold of that pretty easily. And we'd be happy to give you a copy of that report showing, you know, all your stuff that was it's itemized in the police report as being stolen, if that's what you need for.
So just as we notice things, yeah. Let the police officer know, and then
Yeah, and when that police officer shows up, make sure he gives you a business card with that case number on it. And if you notice 3 days later that you had a big bag of candy stolen, definitely call him, because it's the little things like that where we might have an idea of who this person is, because it is a small town. And if we pull him over, you know, 4 days later, and lo and behold, there's a half a bag of eaten candy in the back, that might be, you know, with everything else we have, that might be enough to get a search warrant.
The candy was in it, like one of a kind bag.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really in the details, and like Lieutenant De La Fuente said, just, yeah, don't, you pay us so you can bug us. So there's nothing that's too small, really. If you have a question that you think you need to ask us, you can certainly call us, and there's not much we can't respond to in this town. So. Most likely.
Okay.
Yep. But hopefully they'll have a bracelet that tells us where they're at. And believe it or not, we've had people that are dumb enough to go break into a place with a GPS monitor on their ankle, but those are pretty easy to solve.
And then
they're
put in jail and then they're let out to be murdered to break into the world.
Yep.
And I know that's not your fault, that's the law, but it is.
It's frustrating for all of us, yes.
Any other questions? Come on up.
Well, luckily, we haven't had any break-ins, but we do have a big problem with shoplifting. I'm sorry, I'm Sharon Walewski from Orion Sports. And you're like, well, see something, say something, feel something, say something. So sometimes you do get a funny feeling about a customer, and you try to keep an eye on them, and they're pretty good at what they do, a lot of them. They wait for you to look away for a second. They wait till you're distracted by another customer. And you don't always know that it's happened until they walk out and maybe that $500 Arc'teryx jacket is gone. It's like, that was there a few minutes ago. So you go back, you look on the cameras, and you can see how they're hiding it or whatever. But then there are times when you're kind of like wondering, did they put something in their bag? But what can we do? What can we say to them? Can we ask them? Can we look in your bag? Are we allowed to do that? Sometimes it's like we don't know how to handle it if we have a funny feeling. You don't want to accuse an innocent person of something, but sometimes you're just like, can I ask this person to open their bag and let me look inside? Is that legal?
Yes, it's legal. But like you said, on one hand, you don't want your stuff to disappear. On the other hand, you don't want to accuse somebody you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So it's kind of up to everybody's internal, your gut feeling, I guess, on which way you want to go with that. But there is nothing illegal about walking up to somebody and say, I don't mean to accuse you if you didn't do anything wrong, but I think you just put something in your pocket. And if you did it and, you weren't thinking about it and you want to give it back to me, I mean, any ways you can approach it to make it softer if you feel like you need to, but mm-hmm. There's nothing illegal about doing that. And in fact, if they give it back to you, then you can call us and we can go from there.
But it's not a crime.
It's not a crime. Back. Nope.
Or they have to actually walk out of the shop with the item before it's considered shoplifting, correct?
Yeah, there are different statutes out there for, whether or not you're talking about theft or shoplifting or concealment of merchandise. Mm-hmm. It just kind of depends on, what the cameras look like at the end of the day and what you saw. And then we can try to pick an appropriate statute that would cover it. In the city limits, there's theft under $100, which is, it's not much. But if you did catch somebody in your store and it was something small and they did pocket it, then, we can do something at the very least. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as a business owner, if you wanted to have that person trespassed, then if they were to come back, then, the severity of stealing becomes burglary. So.
Mm-hmm. And the trespassing, is that something that we present to them when they come in, or can law enforcement present it to them, or how does that work?
So if you want to trespass somebody from your business, it's got to be somebody in that business with the authority to do something like that. So usually it could be a manager, it could be the owner, it could be a supervisor, or maybe you're a small business and anybody in your store has the authority to trespass somebody. You don't necessarily have to tell us, but sometimes it makes it easier to prove later on that they were officially trespassed. And then we can even, at your direction, give them a little carbon copy trespass notice, and it's on file at the police department. 30 days, 6 months, a year, permanent. Businesses in town do, you know, different things, especially, you know, like if you think of Walmart and Safeway, they get hit quite a bit. So they might decide, you know, to trespass somebody for 30 days instead of permanently. But there's a kind of, there's different variables, and it's kind of comes down to what you as a business owner would want to do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Just a real simple thing might be just putting a sign up saying, please leave large bags, jackets at the counter. And that way alleviates the awkwardness of coming forward and talking to them.
We do have a sign up, but it's just sometimes they, customers are offended by that. And we've had women be very offended to ask us to leave, or to ask them to leave their purse at the counter. And sometimes they just, you know, people come in and they start walking around and you just kind of miss it until it's, you know, if you're busy. So, but we are trying to do that, and we should probably be more adamant about having people leave their backpacks, leave their purses. And I guess I do have a question then. If we have them leave their purse or their backpack up at the counter, should we have a camera shining down on that so they can't come back and say, hey, my purse was up here and now my wallet's missing?
I would, for liability reasons.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Have you looked into any of the, like the RFID or the magnetic security tags systems?
To put on all the, the clothing?
Because, I mean, if you're, as you said, a $500 jacket just went missing, I don't know how many $500 jackets you have to miss before you can afford to buy a security tag system.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you do have a, I mean, the security tags are reusable. I mean, there's a lot of different systems out there. But, I mean, if you spent $5,000 getting a security tag set up and it lasted for 10 years, you'd be ahead of the game.
Might pay for itself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up because we have met our time. So I do want to thank our panel for coming. Thank you, every one of you. And thank you all business owners for being here today. It's a really nice proactive step, and we'll be working in the future to get some programs in place to help you guys out with this sort of stuff too. Okay, thank you very much.